Entirely on board. Written by Two Seas. Read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. Steed and his brigade of imbeciles row back to the Revenge. Ed doesn't want to hear what Steed has to say. He doesn't. He does. Featuring Ed and Steed as the pirate equivalent of that couple that loudly airs their personal business while one of them is on the ground floor and the other is at the second story window. The crew being the crew, and dramatic reactions to earnest declarations. Ed sat on the railing, staring down at the briny depths. The waves were calm as they lapped against the hull of the ship. Ed watched the splish and splash, a full bottle of rum loosely held in one hand. He hadn't started drinking yet, wasn't sure he would. He was in one of the moods that he hated the most. When he went full Blackbeard, the Kraken rising from the pit of his despair, things were easier. He just felt angry and cold, and like he didn't want to be a person anymore. Being a person was too hard, hurt too much. Being a monster, that felt safer. He wished he felt like that now. He wasn't in one of his crying jags either, hence being out where anyone could see him. No, Ed was feeling very Ed at the moment. Sad and lonely and full of questions. Why wasn't Steed there? Why didn't he show? What had Ed done? Where had Steed gone? Would they ever see each other again? Was any of it real? Was it all one big lie? In his darkest moments, Ed convinced himself it was all a game to Steed. Why else would some rich, fancy man come out to sea? Why else hang around Edward? Why else any of it? But it didn't feel like that. Not at the time and not now, when Ed was thinking more clearly. His thinking was morose at the moment, sure, but it was still clear as a bell. And it didn't feel like a game, but Steed still wasn't at Ed's side, where Ed wanted him to be. What else could it have been? Ed was here. Steed was somewhere Ed didn't know. And there was a great, big, howling, cavernous longing in his chest. Throwing the bottle over his shoulder, Ed resigned himself to being sober and heartbroken. The stupid bottle didn't even have the decency to break. Behind him, on deck, everyone else had their hands full with Jim, and making sure they didn't slaughter everyone on the ship now that they were awake and out of their room. Only Frenchie left them be, watching with a glint in his eye every time Jim managed to nick a crew member with the knife they'd made out of a spoon. Jim was busy spitting curses in Spanish as they slashed and stabbed and whirled. Frenchie was busy watching in silent support, and Izzy and the others were busy trying not to be eviscerated. Nobody would notice that Blackbeard was decidedly less Blackbeard at the moment. Lifting his head with a gusty sigh, Ed startled and would have fallen right off the side of the ship if it hadn't been for his lifetime of experience at sea. He steadied himself and slid off the railing and back on deck in one quick motion, boots hitting the boards. Wide eyes still fixed on the waves and what was bobbing on them, Ed patted his jacket and trousers, searching for his spyglass by feel alone. Fingers touched brass, and Ed opened the thing as soon as he had it in hand. "No fucking way," Ed murmured, squinting through the eyepiece. It was Steed. He was at the front of a dinghy that sat far too heavy in the water. Head turned as he gesticulated wildly at the Revenge. He seemed to be addressing the entirety of the former crew of the Revenge, all those Ed ordered marooned. Wee John rowed with the single set of oars, but the rest used their hands to paddle over the sides of the overladen dinghy. They were making freakishly good time, considering how impossibly crowded the little boat was. They'd be in shouting distance soon. Steed turned and caught sight of Ed. He smiled, hesitant and apologetic. Just like that, anger filled Ed's chest, hot and biting. Shoving his spyglass into his pocket, Ed moved to the nearest cannon and started loading it by himself, the rest of the crew still trying to keep on the unstabbed side of Jim's brutal efficiency. "You come crawling back to my ship," Ed hissed under his breath, checking he had everything in place. "You bring back the people I marooned. I don't think so, Bonnet." Lips curled in a snarl, Ed lowered a light and took savage delight in the way Ed and his crew's... Steed and his crew's eyes widened at the sight and sound of cannon fire while they made a frantic, futile attempt at paddling in a different direction. The cannonball hit the water a good distance from the dinghy, but close enough to rock the boat with the ensuing splash. As they all screamed, hands raised to protect themselves, the dinghy tipped dangerously to the side, and someone toppled out. "No, please, not again!" The man overboard screeched, hands rising up from the water to cling to the side of the dinghy. Black Pete nearly destabilized the dinghy again as he pulled the person aboard. Ed blinked. He cupped his hand around his mouth and shouted, "Holy shit, Lucius, you alive, man?" "Yeah, no thanks to you," Lucius spat back, tossing his head and splattering his crew with seawater. Ed ignored the relief that threatened to cool his anger. Behind him, the deck went quiet. "Ed!" Steed shouted, waving frantically. "Ed, can we talk?" "No!" Ed shouted back, eyes stinging traitorously. "That was a warning shot, dickhead! Turn your boat the fuck around and get out of here!" Steed's face fell, and he didn't tell his crew to turn. Instead, he yelled, "Ed, please, I really think we ought to talk about this." "Nothing to talk about," Ed yelled back. The rest of the crew appeared at the same side of the ship as him, Frenchie leaning over the railing and whooping out a greeting. "Hey, you lot! Frenchie!" a chorus shouted back even as they kept paddling, even closer. "Yes, hello, Frenchie, good to see you," Steed called. "And you too, Jim, of course." Jim and Frenchie stood side by side, watching their crew approach. Jim, with an intense look in their eyes as soon as they caught sight of a waving Olawande. And Frenchie with a broad grin.
"Ready the cannons," Izzy ordered Ivan and Fang. "And fire when ready. I don't want a single survivor, boys."
Before the two could move, Ed grabbed Izzy by the throat and squeezed until his face started to purple.
"Did you like the taste of your own toes that much?" Ed asked.
Izzy wheezed, unable to talk.
"No? Then shut the fuck up, Izzy."
Ed tossed him aside and turned his full attention to Steed.
"Piss off," Ed told him, voice catching on the last bit.
"Ed, please," Steed begged.
"You left!"
"I know." Ed leaned over the rail and stared down at Steed. The dinghy would be right near the ship soon.
"You know fuck all, Steed. You left!"
"Ed, I'm sorry." Steed craned his neck to meet Ed's gaze, eyes large and full of regret. Ed ignored the way the look made his heart twinge.
"If you're so sorry, why'd you leave?"
Steed winced.
"I'd really rather we discuss this somewhere more private."
"Why'd you leave?"
Ed continued doggedly, needing the answer.
"Please, Ed."
Ed grabbed his knife and stabbed it into the wood of the railing.
"Why'd you fucking leave me, Steed?" "Because I'm a monster!"
The words burst out of Steed like he had been holding them in.
"And you make me happy, and I don't deserve to be happy. I ruin beautiful things, just like Chauncey said. I was scared, and I was overwhelmed, and I panicked. I made a stupid, foolish decision because I'm a stupid, foolish man. And if I was a good person, I'd leave you and the crew, everyone I care about on these ships, alone, so I couldn't hurt you anymore. But I'm not. I'm not a good person at all. I'm selfish and silly, and you shouldn't want me back anyways, but I still had to try."
Steed covered his eyes and bowed his head, only able to hide half his anguished expression. The crew behind Steed stared in shock. The crew on the Revenge did the same.
There, Captain," Lucius offered awkwardly, patting Steed's shoulder and leaving a large wet mark from his still dripping hand.
"Thank you, Lucius," Steed said, barely audible.
He dropped his hand and frowned reproachfully down at the water as he muttered mostly to himself,
"But this isn't about me. This is about Ed."
Ed really, really wished they weren't close enough for him to hear that. He didn't like all the ways that it made him feel, especially since he was already trying to parse through Steed's outburst. The words pinged around Ed's head, so familiar, but in the wrong voice, talking about the wrong person. Then something struck out.
"Who's Chauncey?" Ed asked,
still churning over the words and the way Steed said them. Steed took in a deep breath and straightened. When he looked up at Ed, his features were less contorted in torment, but it lingered about his eyes.
"You'll remember Chauncey. He was the one who caught us," Steed explained.
"When did he say anything about you ruining beautiful things?" Ed demanded, confused.
"What kind of an interrogation tactic is that? The fuck kind of mind games they teach in at those naval academies?"
Steed tilted his head, looking confused himself. His expression cleared and he clarified.
"Oh, no, he didn't say that on the ship. He said that when he took me from bed to kill me."
"When he what?"
Ed demanded, voice tight with fury. His fingers clenched around the handle of his knife, the point still stuck in the wood of the ship's railing.
The night that we were going to leave, Steed continued annoyingly casual, like he was delivering some irrelevant news. Like this wasn't a big goddamn deal. He woke me with a pistol in my face and marched me out. Berated me while under the influence of some very pungent-smelling alcohol. He got in my head, I'm ashamed to admit. It's why I left you without a word, Ed. I'm so sorry. I never should have done that. Steed's irritatingly nonchalant retelling ended on a genuinely apologetic note, and Ed wanted to give that some consideration. He also kind of wanted to cry a bit, do some more screaming, maybe fire another cannon. But mostly he needed to clarify some things. He took you hostage at gunpoint. Ed released his knife, the blade embedded deep enough that the knife remained upright where he'd stabbed it into the wood. Steed bobbed his head. Yes. While you were sleeping. Yes. The night we were supposed to meet. Yes, yes, exactly, Steed confirmed, looking mildly amused at this continued questioning. Ed threw his arms out and turned his eyes upward. Aw, man, now I feel like a dick. What? Steed gawked at him aghast. Why? Didn't even think you might have been in danger, did I? Just assumed you'd left because you wanted to. Ed fidgeted and shuffled his boots. Well, how could you have known? Steed forgave him. Easily, completely unbothered by the admission. It's not as if... No, no, hold on, Lucius interrupted, holding up his hand. He glared at Ed, the look absolutely scathing. Are you telling me you didn't even think to check when the captain didn't meet you? Ed shook his head. Nah. You didn't look into him missing this very important meeting? Didn't think he might have literally any other reason for not being there? Lucius continued ruthlessly. Ed tried for light, but missed it by a mile. Nope. I'm sorry, but you came back here all sad and heartbroken, Lucius's voice rose with every fresh word, without looking into this at all? Despite the kind of unbelievable luck and shit situational awareness Captain Bonnet is well known for having, this man? Lucius waved at Steed with both hands, wooden finger threatening to fly off at the agitated movements. Now, Lucius, Steed put his hands out and tried to pacify the scribe. Let's not be too judgmental. We all handle things differently. Oh my God, Lucius ground out, ignoring Steed as he kept scowling up at Ed. You threw me overboard and you didn't even check? Unable to meet the crew's questioning looks, Ed figured that was answer enough for them. Ugh! Lucius scoffed disdainfully. Black Pete put a comforting arm around Lucius's shoulders before quietly shaking his head at Ed. Wait, seriously? Jim asked at Frenchie's side, disbelief in every grit-out syllable. Frenchie winced, looking embarrassed for Ed. Wow, Oluwande sighed. Could have done a quick search, Roche mumbled in the Swede's ear, unimpressed. Just a tiny little baby one, Swede mumbled back. Might have found the captain and that Chauncey fella, Wee John agreed. Could have avoided the whole thing. Buttons turned his saucer-eyed stare Ed's way, looking as if he were looking through Ed and not at him. Aye, that one hurt. All right, that's enough, Steed asserted loudly, looking upset on Ed's behalf. Leave him alone. He didn't do anything wrong. Speak for yourself, Lucius hissed. Several of the crew nodded their agreement. Because I can think of several things he did very much wrong. Lucius swept his hand up and down, indicating to all of himself. Ed grimaced. That was fair. Steed reluctantly allowed, Yes, well, he did several things wrong to you and the rest of the crew by the sounds of it. We really ought to have words about that, Ed. I understand being mad at me and acting accordingly. It's your right after all I've done, of course. But to take it out on the crew when they had nothing to do with it? You're their captain, and you're so much better than that. Ed wanted to lash out, say something cutting, maybe do something dramatic with fire. But then he looked at Steed and saw Steed didn't look angry or all that disappointed. He just looked worried. Worried about him. Worried about the crew. The crew shouted out their grievances, words running over each other. Fang's voice joined in, and yikes. Ed winced. Steed shut everyone up with an authoritative, Now what did I just say? It's hardly right to pile on the man, and I won't stand for it. Ed's the wronged party here. The crew started complaining and gesticulating, loud and angry. The dinghy threatened to tip again. We can discuss his poor treatment of the crew at a later date,
Steed told them firmly, resettling as they all tried to regain their balance. Voices started to pipe up, but he cut them off with a stern,
I said we're tabling it. We've plenty of problems to go around, and at the end of the day, the blame for all of this mess lies firmly on my shoulders, and I won't hear otherwise. How was Ed to know drunken admirals would be stealing away people in the night and shooting themselves in the eye? He couldn't. He's not omniscient, for heaven's sake. Ronnie's dead? Ed asked, eyes narrowing. Chauncey, Steed corrected with a wavering smile. And yes.
Shit, Ed grumbled. He huffed a breath and let go of the elaborate and bloody revenge he'd been plotting. Kind of wanted to kill him myself.
Because of the whole capture thing? Steed asked, completely oblivious.
Oh my god, Lucius said again, punching out every word with irritable emphasis. The crew quieted while Ed studied Steed's face. He looked tired, but certain in a way he never did before, and he'd defended Ed from the crew. Steed's words from earlier banged about Ed's mind, even louder and harder to ignore than before. Ed's voice was deathly serious and immediately caught Steed's attention.
Why'd you come back, Steed?
Steed was as serious as Ed. I never should have left. They stared at each other, something unspoken rolling between them. Though his heart pounded in his chest, Ed's voice was shockingly even when he commanded, Lower a ladder. Steed's eyes widened, lips parting in mingled shock and hope. Fang immediately began lowering the ladder, but Izzy reasserted his presence, yanking it out of his hand.
You've got to be fucking joking, Izzy snapped.
Something moved lightning quick at Ed's side. Izzy jabbed his finger at Steed.
I won't have that dandy twat flouncing back in here, turning Blackbeard into some namby-pamby.
Izzy cut himself off with an exclamation of pain, Jim having plunged a knife through his hand, pinning it to the wood. Jim spoke, voice dripping with anger.
Try to stop them from boarding the ship, and you'll be Mr. Nohans, comprende?
Izzy didn't respond, too busy sucking in pained breaths through his clenched teeth.
Tell me you get it,
Jim demanded as they jostled the knife enough to cause a renewed grunt of pain out of Izzy.
I get it, Izzy managed, eyes watering.
Bien. Jim smiled, and it was all threat. They kept the knife stabbing through Izzy's hand and remained looming over him, their entire aura menacing.
So cool, Wee John admired.
You get why we'd follow Jim, yeah? Frenchie asked the dinghy from over the side of the Revenge.
I guess, Black Pete reluctantly muttered. Maybe that was sort of cool.
I love them, Oluwande whispered fervently. Swede, Roach, and Wee John let out a loud, harmonized ooh. Jim dipped their head, hatbrim hiding their flustered features. Ed glanced down at his side at the little nick that marked where his knife had been embedded, the knife that was now stabbed through Izzy's hand. His eyebrows rose up impressed.
Shit, man, Jim's intense.
Steed met his comment with a smile.
I've always found them quite intimidating. They taught me the stun maneuver, you know. Might have worked a little too well.
Steed trailed off and wrinkled his nose. Ed felt the smile threatening to lift his lips, so he busied himself with the ladder rather than ordering Fang or Ivan to do it. One by one, the crew of the Revenge returned to their ship, until only Steed remained in the dinghy. He didn't start his ascent, and Ed scowled in confusion.
What the fuck are you waiting for? Ed asked, eyebrows furrowing.
Steed pointed to his own face, eyes wide and questioning.
Me? Who else am I going to be talking to? Everyone else is on the ship.
Ed threw his hand out towards the crew.
I can come up, Steed asked, voice rounded in wonder.
Really?
Board the fucking ship, Steed, Ed grunted.
Ed, are you sure? Steed asked, mournful and tentative.
Of what?
Ed asked, glowering the way Steve remained in the dinghy.
Steed winced. That you want me back on the ship?
Ed stared at him, and stared a bit harder, long enough that Steed started fidgeting and the crew began to talk.
Steed, Ed exhaled, I'm trying to forgive you, and you're really drawing out the process here, man.
Forgive me? Steed asked, voice pitching high.
But you can't!
Ed put his hands on his hips and raised an eyebrow at Steed.
What?
You can't forgive me already, Steed explained, working himself up as he did. I haven't made a proper apology.
We've just been kind of shouting at each other from across the water. I need to deliver a proper apology in which I make clear all the ways in which I am at fault. I ought to express my reasons, but not give you excuses. And then I need to assure you that you did nothing wrong, and that leaving with you was exactly what I wanted to do, only I didn't believe that I deserved to be happy. And if you need space from me...
Steed's voice cracked, and he blinked several times in fast succession. He cleared his throat and continued...
If you need space from me, or to process the situation, well then, I need to provide you with that. Hence my staying in the dinghy.
Steed waved his hand in a dramatic little flourish, showing off his small boat.
After all that is said and done, then there's the matter of showing you how much I mean the apology through my actions, of course. Maybe grovel a bit while you berate me with your justifiable scorn. You're the love of my life, and I hurt you, Ed. You deserve a generous amount of grovelling.
Steed concluded with a firm nod of his head. Ed's entire body thrummed like he'd been struck by fucking lightning. He couldn't look away from Steed, who seemed completely unaware of what he'd just said. He treated it so casual, like he was just laying out the facts. Sky's blue, ocean's wet, Ed's the love of his life. Ed swallowed, an impossibly perfect thought hit him. Maybe that was a fact to Steed. Ignoring the questions and the shouts from the crew, Ed jumped off the side of the ship. The water embraced him, cold and sharp against his skin. He swam up, breaking through with a quick gasp.
"Ed, what are you doing? What was that? Get in here!"
Steed's frantic words were joined by his frantic actions, hands reaching out to pull Ed into the tipping dinghy. Ed folded his arms over the edge of Steed's boat. He knew he must have looked absolutely insane. Charcoal was probably running down his face. His hair was slicked flat, saturated and dripping. The leather he wore grew less comfortable with every second. His boots felt heavy as lead. Ed didn't care.
"Did you mean it?" Ed asked, voice raspy. "What? Ed, what are you talking about? Get in the boat. Think of your clothes. This can't be good for the leather."
Steed muttered, agitated and full of worry, as he kept trying to pull Ed out of the water.
"That I'm the love of your life. Did you mean it?"
Ed pled, needing the answer and ignoring everything else. Steed paused, hands tightening around Ed's forearms. He met Ed's eyes and answered unhesitatingly, "Yes, of course I meant it." Ed wondered if the seawater covered up the tears that stung in the corners of his eyes. "You do."
"Ed," Steed breathed.
They both kept their voices low, and Ed felt like they were in their own world. No revenge, no crew, no nothing that wasn't them.
"I didn't even know what love felt like until I thought of you. And you. You're wonderful and lovely, and you make me so happy. I didn't recognize myself for a while there. Of course you're the love of my life."
Ed gave himself a second, trying to breathe through the tightening of emotion in his throat. He hoisted himself into the dinghy, water pouring off of him, and reached for the ladder. He held on to one end and stared at Steed down.
"Then get the fuck on the ship."
Steed did. Back on deck, Ed tossed his wet hair back, earning some mumbled complaints from the few of the crew who were in the splash zone. He rubbed at his face, feeling the gritty remnants of mostly washed off charcoal. Steed stood there by the side of the ship, waiting for Ed.
"What were you going to do if I didn't want you here?" Ed asked Steed, fascinated as ever. "Following the dinghy?" "Yes, well, I figured I might have to," Steed confirmed, nodding solemnly. "You think you could? The revenge is pretty fast," Ed reminded him. "And you'd be rowing your bloody arms off."
Ed poked Steed in the arm, relishing in the contact when Steed didn't move away and instead let out a pathetic little, "Ow."
"I have been rowing quite a lot more than I'm used to," Steed admitted, making a face as he rubbed his sore arm. "It's not as easy as it looks, is it?"
"Nah."
Ed stifled a laugh. Probably best you stay on the ship."
"That's awfully kind of you," Steed told him, completely genuine.
"Will I be staying in the brig?"
"Steed, mate, you don't have to stay in a brig. You just got rooms," Ed told him, trying harder and harder not to grin.
"Oh, yes, that's right," Steed hummed thoughtfully. "I suppose you could tie me to the mast like we did in those hostages. Right, crew?"
The reunited crew all grimaced and shook their heads. "You'd probably die, Captain," Frenchie told him. "No offense."
"You?"
You'd roast up even crispier than those British hostages, Roach told him, eyeing Steed like the next cut of meat to be prepared for dinner.
One of us could hold a sheet over him, Wee John suggested half-heartedly.
Steed put a hand on his chest. I appreciate that, Wee John, thank you. Ed had to stop this entire conversation, and he was going to, because he was fucking Blackbeard. I'm not having you tied to the fucking mast.
Relieved, Steed asked, Where shall I be staying, then? You are the captain of the Revenge now, after all, perhaps on deck with the crew?
Black Pete, of all people, perked up and asked, Does that mean we get extra story time?
Babe, Lucius sighed and pinched the bridge of his nose. No, Ed interrupted before they could start again.
What? No. No extra story time.
The crew looked disappointed, even Fang. Fang did love the voices. Steed was so fucking good at them.
Ed's right, Steed supported. Can't have you all staying up too late. You'd be exhausted in the morning. And wouldn't that be terrible? You can't run a proper pirate ship without proper rest.
God, Ed wanted him so badly. They needed privacy. Just fucking... Ed broke off with a growl.
Follow me.
Grabbing the front of his plain shirt, Ed led a perfectly docile Steed from the deck and into the captain's quarters. Well, captain's quarters now, if Ed had any say in the matter. He knew what the quarters looked like and dreaded seeing Steed's reaction to all the damage he'd done. But when he closed the door behind them and finally looked, Steed didn't seem the least bit surprised and only appeared to be mildly dismayed.
Shame about the books, he sighed. Then he smiled hopefully up at Ed. Perhaps I'll be able to loot some off the ships for replacements.
You're so... Ed's hands went up, and he had to stop himself from pushing Steed down onto the nearest horizontal surface and ravishing him good and proper like the greedy, grasping pirate he was. Steed looked at Ed's raised hands and smiled, but this one was sad and understanding.
It's all right if you need some space, Ed. I don't mind bunking with the crew.
Space? You think this is me wanting stupid fucking space?
Before Steed could do more than look apologetic and confused, Ed gave in to temptation and put both hands on Steed's face. He stroked his thumbs over the slight curves of Steed's cheekbones and pushed aside the thought that his dirty, calloused hands didn't deserve to touch Steed. It was a thought Steed unconsciously helped eliminate altogether, his eyes going wide and dark while his lips formed a gentle smile full of solid affection and undeniable sweetness.
Ed, Steed whispered.
Don't ever do something like that again, Ed begged.
Never, Steed swore.
I fucking love you, you absolute fucker, Ed declared low and earnest.
He pressed their lips together in a kiss that Steed returned with just as much enthusiasm. They didn't stop until they heard voices outside the door.
Do you hear any fighting? Wee John's voice asked.
Nah, it's all quiet, Frenchie observed.
You don't think the captain's killing him, do you? Fang inquired.
That's absolutely not what's happening in there, Lucius assured him. A little fucking privacy might be something that could be happening, Ed barked in their direction.
Outside the door there was a startled scramble, a thud, and a curse. Then some inaudible muttering followed by scurrying footsteps. Ed let out a frustrated grumble that eased away as soon as Steed's gentle hands started to adjust the cravat around his neck. Focusing on Steed and his fond, dazed expression, Ed leaned back in for another kiss.
I'm still kind of pissed, Ed admitted, letting his hand drift off to Steed's hip.
And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make this up to you, Steed told him, pulling away long enough to meet Ed's gaze with a completely serious one of his own.
All right, Ed swallowed harshly. Okay.
Yeah? Steed asked, bright and full of love.
Ed beamed back.
Yeah.
This time, Steed kissed him first, arms wrapping around Ed's neck and shoulders, pulling them impossibly close. Steed didn't even seem to care that Ed was still soaked through with salt water, each shared touch dampening Steed's own clothing. Well, Ed had the perfect solution for that. And Steed was entirely on board.
Notes. Izzy trying to pull the knife from his hand.
I hate this stupid fucking ship.
Ed appearing out of nowhere and yanking the knife out in one go.
Thanks for keeping this safe, Iz, but I need it back. Steed and I are heading up the beach. Gonna do a nature walk. Check out some plants and shit.
Izzy.
You can't be serious about Bonnet. This.
Ed,
Hey, Izzy, you remember what Jin said about your hands?
Izzy.
Yes?
Cool, cool. Goes double for me. So you keep your mouth shut and you won't lose any more body parts, yeah?
Izzy.
Yes, sir.
Ed, walking jauntily off. Great. Try not bleeding all over the ship while you get that stitched up, and maybe avoid most of the crew. I heard them floating the idea of tossing you overboard again. Izzy threw grit teeth.
Fucking Steed Bonnet.
Ed. I am. Steed. He is. The end.